What I'd like to do is to welcome Keith to the call. And so, Keith, you're there, aren't you, buddy?
I am.
I've been waving away as if you know, no one else was here. And so, listen, buddy, why don't you kick the call off with telling us a couple of stories that you heard back from some of your customers about their best results, and then tell us how you got into this thing in the first place.
Okay. Well, I guess, you know, one of the stories that I like the best is when one young lady that I ran across face-to-face had already tried my product. And she had tried it at the stage where I called it Rainbow Bridge, which is a couple of generations back. And her first experience was that angels appeared to her. And it was a very moving experience and was life-changing for her. And I thought that was one of the ones that really was truly amazing. But I get calls from people a lot that have had very extended, what you call a crown chakra opening, and that, I guess, in plain terms, or the way I see it, is you kind of feel like you've got a bowl of static electricity on top of your head. And some people feel like it's flowing outwards, but my particular belief is that it's flowing inwards. At any rate, whichever direction it's going, it feels kind of like static electricity, or your hair is standing up on top of your head. And anyway, this lady, after trying, she wanted 7 drops of it, and she called me up the next Monday and said, "I don't know what you've done to that water, but I had a 16-hour crown chakra opening from that 7 drops that you gave me, and I worked through a bunch of issues that had been bugging me for months during that period." And this is fairly typical of the experience of people who react to Ormus or trap water in general. I think will react to my water because it's age, which is about 5 times as strong as the Rainbow Bridge was. And since then, I hear this, I can't feel it, and I've heard that from the beginning from people, and so I have made it more concentrated, and it is up to the stage that I call clear light, and it got its name because it kind of feels like you're being pulled out of your body when you take it into the next dimension or whatever. But in the Tibetan tradition, this, it's like when you pass on after death, and suddenly it's like a light was turned on and you see things clearly for the first time. You see true reality. And this is the kind of effect that I experience, and a lot of the people that take it experience this sort of effect, sometimes called a samadhi or any number of terms in different religions. But the principle is the same. I think it's a divine connection. And it was that really made me want to get this water out to people. It was so amazing for me the first time around that, I mean, incredible, basically. Far beyond anything that I had imagined, even though I was looking forward to Ormus effects from having read Barry's site and, you know, the effects people described. You know, some of them, obviously, I would not want to experience. But I was looking for all those good things, and I've got to say that it went way past anything I expected or even imagined that it would. A connection to God like I've never had before. And whether you call it God or the source or the force or the field or the collective consciousness or, you know, whatever you might term it as, it's a very strong feel. And I know that a lot of scientists are very much stuck in the box and don't really believe in God in any form. Until you have this experience and you actually experience communion with God, which is oneness with God and oneness with all things, you'll never really get it. You know, you're not going to be able to wrap your mind around that concept until you have the experience yourself.
So let me ask you this, Keith. Did you have a significant metaphysical background that allows you to even language this kind of thing, and an experiential base, you might say, of any kind of spiritual depth that was your precursor to Ormus. And how did you stumble on Ormus, what was the transition point? What happened?
Well, I guess I have a spiritual background. Well, I was born Catholic and was, taken to church till I was about 12.
We can't help that, though.
Yeah, and there wasn't much I could do about it until I was about 12. And I pretty much stopped going. But as a child, I felt like I had good communication with God. My prayers often were answered right away for me. And I was reverent, but the ritual part of it and the part where they really expect you to go by what the priest says and you're not really supposed to read the Bible on your own, or that seems to be traditional, kind of pulled me off from that. And I'd start reading the Bible, and my other side of my family was Church of Christ, which is a real holier-than-thou kind of religion that nobody else but Church of Christ people are going to heaven. And that sort of turned me off. A lot of their closed-mindedness turned me off, and the fact that they would not discuss the book of Revelation, which I thought was particularly interesting. And in my teenage years, I started studying Tibetan literature and, well, the Tibetan Book of the Dead and the Egyptian Book of the Dead, both. And I decided that I kind of preferred the Tibetan path and went quite a bit farther with that and meditation and that sort of thing. And, did my share of experimenting with herbal substances and drugs in my teenage years that were an attempt at an expansion of consciousness. That really leads nowhere, pretty much. I mean, it's possible to have that with drugs, but not to the extent that you can with meditation and Ormus or, whatever it is. I'm still in the what is it stage. I'm not sure that it's Ormus because I can't prove it. The old left brain working there, but the way I view it is it's energy from my left brain, and my right brain says it's God. So kind of integrate that. It's God's energy that's in this. And it's energy like what Barry had just recently posted about. I've seen evidence in my mind, my observations, that leads me to believe that actually Ormus is being created on the spot. It's being like pulled out of the universe, and I see it as, a direct action God, because the effects that I've seen it have on people, the things that it does, this is not something that is strictly a man-made thing. It's not about me. It's about what God told me to do, and which I guess I can start telling you about that as well. But my first instance with Ormus was apparently about 1995 or 6, when I heard this lady talking on the shortwave radio about this substance that was white powder of gold, or white ash of gold. And this was around the time of Mount St. Helens, and she was up in the northwest somewhere, and they had collected this powder, which they claimed to be the philosopher's stone, or Ormus, or whatever white powder gold that is referred to by the ancients. And after listening to about half an hour of this, I ordered 4 bottles of it, thinking, well, this is what I've been looking for, and it's what everybody has been looking for. It's the Grail quest. I mean, this has been going on for many years. And when I got it, I poured some out onto a piece of paper and decided that what I saw there I did not want to consume, because you could actually see a metal flake in it, and it was not a consistent kind of thing. It was volcanic ash, apparently. Anyway, I still have that stuff. It was called Isis White Powder Gold. And I think I even tried to give some to Barry for a collection or whatever, but he didn't seem to want it.
White powder of St. Helens ash?
I think that's what it was, this, that had accumulated. This lady was saying that this, has remarkable healing capabilities, and I just didn't have enough confidence in it to consume it, even though, you know, I'll consume clay of a particular grade of clay, but, you know, I don't eat dirt. I don't eat, you know, the scrapings off the car. When I wash the car, I don't lick the car or anything like that, because there's plenty of other junk in the air that falls down with volcanic ash that's not good, I'm sure. And like I said, I could see metal flakes. And she did say that there was gold burned into this. And she wasn't specific about whether it was a volcanic action or what. But anyway, that was my first introduction to it. And so, you know, I was kind of disappointed because I was afraid to take it, you know. And it wasn't really drawing me strongly to take it. So that's a pretty wild thing. I have run across this earlier in time like that. I guess in about the year 2000, I built my first trap, which was like a winter trap, Bob Winter design. I, you know, was running it from water that was put into a big tank, and I really got nothing out of it. I ended up giving the trap away, and years later, asking the guy if he had it, and he said, no, I scrapped the magnets out of it and tossed it because it didn't do anything for him where he was. So I'd kind of abandoned that idea, but I kept running across Barry's site and doing research because I'd started researching water very shortly after my first incident there with the volcanic ash. But I'd started researching water because I felt like if the human body is 70% water or more, then that is going to be a big factor in everything in the human body. And thought that was a key to healing, because I was experimenting at that time with various electromedicine things, the Hulda Clark Zapper, the Bob Beck Electrifier, magnetic pulsers, Rife machines, all this kind of stuff. And so it's really coming from an alternative health kind of background, or a health background. But that was a failure. That winter trap was a failure. But I kept researching, and I kept playing with my other stuff, and found that with my Rife machine, I could program frequencies into water, and then decided and created a way of making the Rife machine so that it was specifically designed to affect water, and that worked really well, and it was much more effective than a regular plasma tube Rife machine was because of that fact. So from there,
sounds like you've actually pioneered a whole new way of increasing a quality of water, to potentize water.
Well, yeah, that is basically, you know, how it has ended up. And over the years, I prayed about it. You know, I prayed to find something that would help everybody and would keep my bills paid consistently, because I was having trouble with that. And, you know, I never really found the thing that helped everybody and paid the bills, even though the machine was fairly miraculous. I mean, I had clients that would come for healing with it, and unfortunately, when you heal somebody, they don't come back for more until something else comes up, which is kind of not being strung along like white coats do, where, you know, you got to keep coming back and taking the medicine and getting more tests, et cetera, et cetera. But my focus, you know, I kept with water, and I kept running across Barry's site, and, you know, I'd been studying patents for various hexagonal water machines, and that's what I was really looking for, was a way to make hexagonal water so it would be better assimilated by the body, because that's the research that I'd read indicated that was the case. So, you know, one day in prayer, I'm on my knees, toes bent forward, you know, and I'm asking again for the thousandth time, you know, for something that will help everyone and, you know, and pay my bills and, you know, just be good all around for everybody. You know, I get this answer back, I've already given that to you. And then this picture formed in my mind of a design that I'd thought of, you know, months before, for kind of a trap system. And it's really interesting to me that the choice of the word trap, and I realize that it's, you know, the idea is that you're removing or separating the ormus. But there's an Aramaic meaning or an Aramaic word. The word prayer in Aramaic means a trap. When you pray, you're setting a trap for God. And I feel like that is what happened here, is through prayer, I was given this, and the machine seems to pull energy from God of a very high vibration and puts it into this water. And it's like not exactly capturing the Holy Spirit, or, you know, the Holy Spirit is theoretically the way that God works on earth, the actual physical manifestation of how he does things. And that a lot of people would call that zero-point energy, or John would call it super light. Well, whatever you might call it, it has an effect on humans and animals and plants that is amazing. In fact, it has an effect on inanimate objects. I can use this system to charge glass, crystals, metal, all sorts of things with this same kind of energy. It feels a little bit different. Each individual thing feels a little bit different. Glass is pretty dead on its own as far as energy goes, but when charged with this, it's blatantly powerful. I mean, you can hold this little chunk of glass in your hand and feel the energy from it. And, you know, some people would call it tachyon, and I guess that's the closest thing that I can describe it for most people is tachyon, because a lot of people in the health field are familiar with that. But they feel to me much, much stronger than any of the tachyon crystals or, you know, ceramic chunks or whatever that I've felt.
So, you told us about an experience earlier about a bruise that you got recently. Could you describe that again?
Sure. And this happened last Sunday night. I was sitting here on my chair in front of the TV, and in short, it's still warm down here in Texas some of the time, and even when it's not, I tend to wear shorts just because it's comfortable for me. So my girlfriend asked me, where'd you get that bruise on your knee? And I looked down, and right in the middle of the patella, the kneecap, there's bruise a little bit larger than a nickel that was, you know, blue already. And I reached down and felt it, and ow, you know. I can't remember when I did that. And she said, well, have you the water on it yet? And I said, no, I didn't even know it was there until you pointed it out. And so I put a drop of the Clear Light water and smoothed it around. And watching it, in a minute's time, it had to be even less than a minute, it turned from blue to, you couldn't hardly even tell it was there, a slight reddening on the surface of the skin. There was not the deep, under the surface blue color that was there. And it was just amazing to see it happen before my eyes. A similar incident, my girlfriend had a mole coming up on her leg, and it was probably about 3/16 of an inch in diameter and a 1/16 of an inch high. And she put a drop of Rainbow Bridge back, you know, 2 years ago, and it was that. She put a drop of that on that wart, or not wart, but a mole that was coming out. The next day it was gone, totally. No trace of it being there.
Wow.
And, yeah, this was incredible, you know, to me and to her. But I've really come to see that it more often works on something than not. It has done some amazing things. And I forget about it myself, the usefulness of it. A couple of years ago, I was putting up a fence where people had been vandalizing an RV that I had stored, and I was putting up a fence to keep the beer bottles away, and I was hanging over the edge of the fence, stretched out with my arm hammering with my left hand, and I'm right-handed, so probably after about an hour or so, I had this cramp between my thumb and forefinger in that muscle, the big thick muscle in the middle there, that I couldn't even pick up a hammer. And I had trouble, you know, doing anything with that hand, and it hurt really bad. So I come home and my girlfriend tries massage, she tries trigger points, she tries acupressure, and she said, I don't know what I can do for you. Have you tried any of the water on it? So I put a drop of the Rainbow Bridge on it, and the muscle cramp went away. It was before I could even finish spreading, before I even had the dropper back in the bottle and spread the water around, the cramp was gone. Just poof. These things are, to me, commonplace now. I'm seldom shocked by what it does, but I've told my hairdresser about it. Of course, I gave my hairdresser some of the water, and she kept it around on her table there at the shop. And one of the other hairdressers there one day had this big lump on her neck that was about half the size of an egg, and she didn't know what it was. And she said, "Well, let's try some of this water on it. It sometimes does some wild things." And she puts a couple of drops on it and spreads it around, and 5 minutes later, the lump is gone, just totally gone. And this was ugly, you know, a big old lump on the side of her neck that was red, and she didn't know what it was. It looked like a huge boil, except that it was all red, and this took it away. The same afternoon, the boss came in with her husband, and her husband had Bell's palsy. So that's a disease, fairly disfiguring, where sort of one side of your face looks like it's melted, kind of like a Dali painting or something. And it's, most people with it just don't go out in public because it's embarrassing. People stare and that sort of thing. They take a few drops of this water, the Rainbow Bridge, and it spread it around on his face, and it just pulls up. That side that was just kind of drooped down just pulls right up. And they couldn't believe it. And so the lady that runs the shop is a real serious Christian, real dogma-oriented Christian, and she's freaked out about it. She didn't know what to think. My hairdresser assured her that I was not an evil person, that this wasn't witchcraft or voodoo or anything like that. So the next week, the boss there has the hairdresser call me in and asked me to come in there, and said they'd give me free hair color if I would come in and talk to them about, you know, my spiritual background and about the water, because she had never seen anything like that before that had done anything for him, because the doctor had given him drugs that were supposed to help, but they didn't. See, to me, these things are spiritual. There's just not enough scientific explanation for how it works on so many different things that it can't be anything else but spiritual in my eyes.
You know, Keith, it might be a really wonderful thing if you could get a video of some of these rapid transformation things. You know, maybe if you offered free product to the first person that sent you a video or something.
Yeah, I would certainly be willing to do that sort of thing, because it's amazing. I've got another customer right now that has called me up to tell me that this has worked on his Bell's palsy, and I've never mentioned it. I don't put the healing stuff on my website because, well, the specter of the FDA, basically. But I've seen amazing things happen personally on a spiritual basis, and amazing healing things happen that patient for this. So what else can it be? But, you know, all the experiences that I had in making it and the experience the first time I had taking it, where I felt a oneness with the universe like I had never felt. My body was electric. I could see the air vibrate. Probably the most dramatic thing of that, besides the oneness part of it, was a vision of the geometric figure of the Tree of Life that was projected like a hologram in front of me in the air. And that was shocking to me, so I didn't say anything about it to my girlfriend, who had already had taken some after I described the effects. 10 minutes into it, she was ready to try it. So she had taken some too, but I didn't say anything about seeing this in the air. And a couple of minutes after I saw it, she says out loud, "The Tree of Life." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And she says, "The Tree of Life. I'm seeing it floating in the air in front of me." And I'm going, oh, my God, this is God talking to us, you know. This is direct action here on earth, a direct message from God, and I've felt that way ever since. There's no question in my mind about it. It's not something that I formed in my mind and wanted to believe this. It was just random, nothing I was expecting.
Okay, you got my attention, Keith.
Now, okay.
Queen here, who's also been listening to a little bit of this call, and I'm holding a bottle of clear light water in my hand.
Yeah, and that's
and
about a year old.
I'm going to ask my friend to identify a couple of spots in my back that I can't see, because apparently there's a couple of little skin cancers back there, and I'm going to ask him to put some of this stuff on there, any little spots you can see, Eddie, and so I'll be able to give you some feedback about that, and but what I also wanted to say is this, and just see if this works for you, Keith, and that is the people on this call. Just imagine if some of the people on this call decided to ring you or to go to your site and order a bottle of clear light water and document the results on video. Would you give them a couple of bottles for free if they sent you that video?
Absolutely. I would do that. In fact, you know, I've done that for a number of people who are just healing other people around them, you know. I've, you know, donated it basically to the healing effort. But another thing that crossed my mind when we were talking the other day is I have this batch, and let's put it this way. When I make a batch, the intent, some people would call intent or intention that I put on, I call it a prayer, you know. But I pray for the highest and best for anyone who comes into contact with this water and to bring them closer to God. That's the only kind of intent or will that I put into it. And it seems to be very, very effective in that mode. But a couple of times, and only twice really, have I made batches with special intent. And one of these batches was for a Diksha organization in Austin, who there was a special day for them where it was a focus on relationships. And I had made this water with the intent of healing relationships. And when I took the water, I found that I didn't have the usual effects above the neck. In other words, I didn't have the crown chakra opening or the third eye opening or any of the cerebral kind of effects that I normally got from it. But everything below the neck was lit up as usual, which I, you know, thought was really interesting. But one of the things that is, you know, especially common with this is what they call a heart chakra opening. It kind of feels warm in your chest, but kind of electric, where you feel kind of a field radiating out from you, which indeed is what's happening. But at any rate, I thought it was very unusual that it didn't have these other, the spiritual effects, as I call them, the third eye and crown, because those are the big connection. The crown, I think, is where this wonderful information comes in from God, the field, the source, whatever. And the third eye is kind of integrates it into your perceptions and vision. And then normally you will also get a heart chakra opening, and you'll have all three of these. That is a real good integration of the energies. But with this particular intent for relationships, I didn't have the crown and third eye chakra feeling, which disappointed some people that, you know, I was giving the water to, because that's what they were used to, is getting that good crown chakra and third eye thing going. And so I just didn't do anything else with that, with intent after that. I just stuck to the old tried and true highest and best for everyone who comes into contact with it and bring them closer to God. That was working just fine. No need to change it. So recently,
that was your standard vanilla intention, basically.
Right, and it leaves it open for you to do whatever intention you want to put on the water. And I've found that it's during that process of making it, you know, that my intention or my prayer has the most effect. It's while I'm making it, at that instant when I start it, you know, I'm praying. So that's when it has the most effect. And it works likewise when you put a drop of this water into your pint of water, which is what I generally recommend, a pint or 500 milliliters to mix it into. When you put it in there, that's when you put your intention in. And it seems to work best that way. But recently I did this batch for prosperity, wealth, and wisdom. And, you know, sent it out to a guy in Santa Fe who's a healer who spread it among three of his friends. And all of them had windfalls of one sort or another that were totally unexpected out of the blue. At least, if my memory serves me correctly, at least two of them did, himself and one other, had fairly dramatic things. And then another who's had investments, started making a lot of money on the investments. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But I put this intent on the water, and that's what I sent to you there, Dennis. It was the same thing. No crown or third eye action, or very little in comparison to the usual feel of the clear light. Then exactly the same, you know, just like I would do another batch. And the only change was that prayer. So, you know, it's got to be doing something. And obviously, if it's taking away that crown and third eye thing, it's doing things more on an earthly kind of basis. We'll just have to see how it goes. And what I was thinking is, you know,
to what extent, Keith, is it possible for someone, when they receive your clear light water, however you have programmed it, to add to its power by programming it, you know, themselves, kind of like a user programming, so that they can get specific effects from it, regardless of the fact that you've said that you've made the programming that this is the best for all concerned, the best results, the best upliftment for all, they can program it specifically.
I think if I've done that generic thing, the highest and best for anyone who comes into contact with it, then it leaves it open for that, and it, you know, it's got the full effect. It's when I program something with a particular intent that it seems to lose some of its spiritual effect, but it does seem to have more effect in, you know, what some people would call the real world, but you really have to get that spiritual effect before you're actually seeing the real world.
Listen, can I share with you a way to empower a substance like this in a big time way, very quickly, which is a system that Hahnemann, the guy who invented homeopathy as we know it, worked out for potentizing and empowering this liquid that would have, like, you know, one millionth of a drop in a bucket, and would hold the charge completely. And it's a real simple system. It's called, some people call it percussion, some people call it succussion. I like percussion because it reminds me of hitting things, like you thwack on a drum. And you hold it in one hand, and you hit it against the palm of your other hand 49 times, preceded by an intention. So it might be like, I'm going to do this live on air. So I'm holding your bottle in one hand, and I'm going, this particular clear light water is incredibly empowering and uplifting for me, and provides extraordinary joy and happiness for the whole rest of my life. And here it comes. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. 49 times. Now, I have found that I can even empower food like that. It's incredible. I've made up. I have one of those little blenders that's completely self-contained. It's completely no self-contained. It's enclosed. That's right. It's one of those whoopee-doo sort of blenders like they advertise on TV. And so I make up a shake in there, and then I'll percuss it with an intention. And every single time I do exactly the same recipe, with or without an intention, will taste totally different to the one I just made before, not just to myself, but to anyone else, who's tried it. And so they consistently go, wow, this one's delicious. And the other one was delicious. So what I'm saying here is that adding a personal power and intention of things doesn't just work for major almost products, but it works for pretty much anything.
Yeah, undoubtedly, that's true. That's, you know, that's the reason why people bless their food before they eat it. That's really basic to it. And by succussion, you can dilute this stuff an incredible amount. But just as it is, the clear light, if you put one drop into 500 ml of water, a little over a pint, and for me, I can take a teaspoon of that, and that's plenty for me to feel it, no doubt about it. That's about all I really want most of the time. And that's 1/100th of a drop we're talking about. If you succuss it, you can go even further with it. You can use even less of it, and you can put your own intention on it. When you're succussing it, when you expand it, in other words, when you drop that water into that pint to start with, that is when it's most susceptible to your intentions. When it's still in the bottle in the concentrate form, I'm not sure that it's as susceptible as when you're mixing it and letting it expand its energy out, because really there's a lot of energy in it. I mean, you can see that in the photograph. You took, you know, a picture of this bottle that you'd had it for a year. I mean, if you did this a month ago, you've had that bottle of Clear Light for a year, and it's still very, very powerful.
That's why it really holds its charge.
Yeah, and it does when you let it expand into, and that's the way I look at it, is like it's compressed, and when you let it expand into a pint of water, it activates the rest of that water, and while you're doing that is when you put your intent in it, because it all grows, that intent grows as well.
Okay, that's a great distinction. Yeah, thanks for that.
Well, I think, you know, people underestimate how much power they actually have. I know I did. You know, these experiments, the two that I've told you about, were kind of shocking to me, that I could change the way it felt by changing the prayer that I was doing and actually getting what I asked for is just wonderful. You can't argue with success.
Well, you can, but you'd lose the argument.
You've been making this quite a while. Have you ever weighed a given volume of your water and compared it to the weight of ordinary water from your well?
No, I haven't. The only scale that I have that will measure down into, you know, less than a gram is a powder scale that was meant for gunpowder when you're reloading shells, and it goes down to about plus or minus 10 milligrams. So it's hard to get a really accurate measurement on something that would, chances are, be a very small change in its actual weight. And
what my friend Jim noticed was that at first the trap water weighed less than ordinary water, then later it weighed considerably more. Ordinary water weighs 8.33 pounds per gallon. The trap water over time could weigh as much as 12 pounds per gallon.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, your trap setup, which I assume is a series of traps along with your Rife field generator.
Actually, I don't use any kind of field generator. It's a system of traps. I don't use any outside electromagnetism other than what's coming out of my head.
So it sounds to me like you're getting such a concentration. Another thing Jim claimed, and I don't know if it's absolutely true or not, but we talked about it a little earlier, is that Ormus is some kind of an emergent matter, or once you get it to a certain concentration, it seems to pull more in. Another person who uses traps in their system, the guy that does Mountain Manna, he talks about how once he's reached a certain concentration, it seems to be pulling the ormus in from the whole area around, and it gets to be more and more so in his area. Other people have noticed, Bob Winter and Bob and Penny Winter have noticed that when they're using their trap, over time their ordinary water gets kind of cloudy. Have you noticed any of that?
I can't say that I've noticed the other water getting cloudy, but mm-hmm. I set up what I call an ormus attractor field mm-hmm. That I think contributes to it, and also what Tiller calls a conditioned space, where you've produced this over and over again in the same spot or the same area, and it's like the area becomes entrained to do this one particular job. And if you take, it's not going to perform as well, and I'm not sure that it's just the source water.
Uh-huh.
I think it may have very much to do with an entrained space, mm-hmm. where you're setting up sort of a, well, in the Aramaic, you're setting a trap for God. You're making all the conditions right for this to happen.
Uh-huh.
And by having that vibe going, or whatever you might want to call it, over and over and over again, it can't help but happen.
Keith, I wanted to comment on the winter trap. I use the winter trap, and it works very well on a place we have in North Florida that's rural. And
mm-hmm.
I do notice that there are days when the water doesn't come out as creamy as there are other days when it does. And I'm thinking that that's because we have different fields going on in the earth. And my earth mother friend up in that area also bought one. She lives up there 12 months a year. And she just wouldn't ever not drink trap water. And when I do show up there, one of her gifts to me always at my gate is a couple gallons of water that she's trapped for me, and it's very creamy. So when
uh-huh.
you didn't have a lot of, it didn't really move you, I do know that there are others that it does resonate with.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying that it doesn't work. I'm saying that the source that I was using was like water that was taken from the hydrant, literally, pumped into a tanker truck, and then brought and put into a big poly tank outside. And under those conditions, the trap water didn't work. This was city water and had been pounded to death by the city, undoubtedly, and was about as far from the source as you could possibly get, probably. So I think it really has more to do with, you know, your source water as to whether it's really going to turn out well. And I have to say that I've used my trap on systems that have fluoride in them, and that is the most mind-numbing kind of high from ormus that I've ever had, and I won't do it at all anymore. It's a very dulling kind of feeling, and that's, you know, something that people should certainly watch out for, what it is, you know, that they're charging. And fluoride is not my favorite thing.
Well, fluoride was really promoted and developed originally by A.G. Farben, who was basically Hitler's partner in mind control, population control, pharmaceutical stuff that they just stuck in the water. And it's basically a crap byproduct of the aluminium industry. And there's usually a huge payola for the politicians that force it on the public to make them more docile and controllable. It's nasty, nasty, nasty stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with the origins of it. You know, the origins of treating water with fluoride really have nothing to do with your teeth. And I believe the Air Force Base in San Antonio did studies in the 50s. At that time, until recently, actually, San Antonio was not fluoridated, but they were putting fluoride in the water at the Air Force Base and found that it did make the soldiers more docile and more compliant and would follow orders better. But it also means that you don't have any individuality, you're not creative, you don't really perform in the way that you were meant to be, you know, which is just about impossible in a military atmosphere anyway, but you're not even going to, you know, get anywhere close to it if you're, you know, basically sedated by the fluoride, which is very close in its effect to lithium, and lithium is often prescribed, you know, for mental disorders, and it pacifies the person, and it's pretty yuck stuff. And fluoride is very much the same way in its effects. And you don't want to charge up something that's already bad for you.
Yeah, Keith?
Yes.
Okay, this is Janine, and I had a question. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, as we were speaking, I just ordered some clear light that I intend to share with some friends, but I did want to ask you a question about kind of like the difference of awesome water in clear light. Like,
well,
how do you make that difference?
Essentially, you know, I look at it pretty much left brain as an energy thing. Well, anyway, I look at it as sort of an energy thing. It is about 50 times as strong as the awesome water. And the awesome water I sort of developed to where one drop would do most people with plenty of effect at one drop level. And I started developing clear light really for shipping overseas so that it wouldn't cost so much, wouldn't use up natural resources so much in getting it where it needed to go. But along the way, I also found that there were some people that the regular strength was not doing the trick for them. And when I got it up to about the 20X stage, about 20 times what awesome water is, then I made a breakthrough with a couple of different people. One of them was on Prozac, and they had never been able to feel the water before, and made a breakthrough for them. And another person who, you know, took my water regularly, but it didn't seem to do anything on the brain side of things. And that was for Binga, who started the White Gold List. And once I got it up to that 20X stage, and she took some, she said, "Now I know what you're talking about. This is wonderful." And so she's been a steady user ever since. And then, of course, she was one of the first ones to get to try the 50X stage that I call Clear Light, because I really never really released the 20X stage at all. And tested the clear light on what you might call the hardcore people that, you know, could take and...
Repeat that, please.
The
hardcore people that could take what?
They could take larger amounts of the regular strength without it being overwhelming for them. Those are the people that appreciated the clear light the most because they were already accustomed to taking 10 or 20 drops at a time of the awesome water because they liked the intensity. It's much more dramatic. The more you take, the more dramatic it becomes, except at some point, for me, if I'm not using this energy, channeling it in some way, like healing or focus on something in particular, then I typically just go to sleep. It's kind of an overload, but I sleep like a rock and feel really rested when I wake up in the morning, but too much basically is self-limiting. It'll put you to sleep, whereas the lighter amounts tend to give you more energy, and the more you take of it, the more of a blissful, tranquil kind of state it puts you into. But very pleasant. I guess I think Joe Lello pretty much loves the stuff. He found that, you know, nothing, the awesome water really didn't do anything for him, but the clear light, it really didn't take much. And I think he started out with a drop or two and then went to three and found that that was a bit too much. And backed off a little bit. But one of the things that I've found over and over again is people who have severe back pain and severe muscle pains of different sorts find that this works better than their prescription drugs for their pain. And it just sort of it separates you from your body, it seems like. All that stuff just kind of relaxes. You just go into this sort of state of bliss. And depending on what your focus is in that state of bliss, you can communicate with your creator if that's the way you look at it. That's the way I look at it. And that's what I find it most useful for. But it does do the physical things that other weaker formulas that I've made won't do. It'll kill severe pain that normally serious prescription medicines are being used for. And people can back off on their pain pills. You know, and a lot of these things are highly addictive narcotics that people themselves off of it because this does a better job.
You know, there's one thing I wanted to ask you to recount was a couple of stories we went over that you told me when we did our first sort of we had our first conversation, and one of them was when you went to that spiritual group that I've forgotten the name of it. You already mentioned. What was the name of that group that you went to?
Oh, it was a Diksha group, and Diksha.
Right. Well, tell that story about that you were telling me about how the leader there had such a good opinion about it. He reckoned it was like Diksha in a bottle or something.
Right. Yeah. Basically, we're having a showing of What the Bleep Down the Rabbit Hole, a pre-release showing of it, which you could arrange to rent the DVD and pay a percentage to the folks that made the film. And they were doing this. It was limited to 99 people, according to their agreement with the company. And they were having this showing. And so I thought, well, that's going to be a good movie because I went to see the original What the Bleep in the theaters, and I thought it was great. And it was a lot about quantum physics and mind over matter and water. They talked about Emoto and intention on water. But at any rate, I thought, well, this would be great, you know. This would be the ideal place to go and, you know, see what it felt like taking Ormus and watching this movie. And I thought, well, you know, probably other people there are going to be kind of like-minded. Otherwise, they wouldn't be coming to see this movie. So I loaded up, a pocket full of samples and a box. Had another 30-odd samples in it, and took it with me. And so when I bought the ticket, and I was waiting for Binga and a fellow from Houston, I can't remember his name, the German fellow that came to the seminar anyway, they were coming, you know, and were going to meet me up there. So when I went to get the tickets, there was three people behind it, behind the table there, and I gave them each a bottle of the Awesome Water and told them that, you know, if you're familiar with a samadhi is, this water will give you a samadhi with just a few drops. One drop is enough for lots of people. And they just looked at me like I was crazy, but they did it because that's the way Austin is. People go on their instinct sometimes and try something. If it sounds incredible enough or juicy enough for them to try it, they'll try it. Not only did they try it, but they passed it on to the head of the Diksha organization in Texas, named William Cooper. And he was there running the thing. He had organized the showing of the movie. And he was, you know, talking about it, introducing the movie, and, you know, before he started it, and making some local announcements and that sort of thing. And one of the people from the desk outside came in and grabbed me by the arm and said, "Come out here." And I went out, and I thought, oh, I'm going to be in trouble. You know, I've, you know, given this water out, and it's going to disturb things, and, you know, they're going to jump me for bringing this drug, you know, or what, you know, people would look at that way. And instead, it was, William wants to talk to you about this water. I said, well, okay. You know, I figured, well, I'm going to get a chewing out from the boss, you know, for bringing this stuff in. And it turns out that was the guy that was doing the announcement. I didn't know it at the time, but he comes out, and they say, "This is the guy," and I'm going, oh, boy, just waiting, you know, for it to hit the proverbial fan. And he says, "This water is incredible. It is so strong." And I said, "Well, how much of it did you take?" And he said, "Well, I put four drops under my tongue." And I said, "Well, you're supposed to mix with water, and four drops is a little more than I would choose to use. But sure, you know, it's strong stuff, and in fact, I can make it stronger." And he said, "Well, I think it's pretty strong just the way it is. This is like Diksha in a bottle." And Diksha is this a blessing is what Diksha means, or initiation. And it's sort of an energy work similar to Reiki, where people put their fingertips on your skull and direct energy into your brain that is supposed to give you enlightenment. That's the objective purpose of Diksha, is to bring you into this state of enlightenment. And he found that the effect was so similar to what they do that he, you know, in intermission, he came out and told people about the water and that this was Diksha in a bottle. And most of the people who knew about this movie were people who were going to the Diksha treatments or whatever. He told people to check it out, and because I'd left a couple of bottles outside on the desk, and see what they thought about it. And then he had me come up there and tell a little bit about the water, which was kind of, I wasn't expecting to get called out to talk in front of everybody, and kind of an unusual thing for me. But anyway, I talked shortly about it, and then he re-reminded them that this was really good Diksha in a bottle. So I went out to my car and brought out that box of samples and put them on the table, and 5 minutes later, there were none left. There were, you know, it was 30-some-odd samples that I'd left there on the table that were maybe 4 or 5 milliliters, gone right away. You know, I came back to more showings of it, and it was well-received every time that I came there. And, I even made a few sales, but I was really having a lot more fun giving it to people, dropping into their water bottle or even a few of them I gave samples to take home. But that was a very interesting, and I was so surprised because, here's somebody who spent $5,000 for training in India to give this Diksha treatment to people, and he's telling all of his customers, basically, that this is Diksha in a bottle. And I've got to say, from the Diksha treatment that I got, that I get more out of a drop of the awesome water than I do out of a deep. It's pretty pretty powerful stuff, and it works a lot in the same way on the brain, I think, than very much like what they do with the Diksha. And you can often feel a left brain activation from it that's, different than you normally feel. It's kind of a pressure in the upper left corner of your head. And that's the same kind of activity that they've measured in EEGs for Diksha practitioners. So it's a real similar thing in its action on the brain. On the other hand, it also activates the right brain. Most of my customers are of a creative kind of mindset, artists or writers. I've got 3 writers that buy from me that are New York Times, top whatever, New York Times bestseller list at one point or another, that are artists, are real musicians. It's pretty much the creative crowd that's been buying it, I would say, more than the left brain analytical types.
That would make sense. Listen, let me interrupt for a moment. Barry, is the free room still connected?
Still connected.
Listen, I just want to take an opportunity to get anyone from the free room to ask any questions, because your time is almost up, so you might want to ask Keith a couple of questions before you go.
It's funny, the question I get more often than anything else is, what kind of drug is in this? And it's very hard to convince some people that it's just water. And I'm not sure that it is just water. It may have this emergent matter, ormus material in it. It's just, impossible to prove or say for sure. People have a very hard time believing it's not a drug just because it is so strong. Just the other day, actually, I got a cancellation on one of my subscriptions from somebody in Italy, and apparently customs in Italy looked at the bottle, which the label on it said, awesomewater.com, 1 drop in 16 ounces, charged mineral water, and it also says for spiritual purposes only. So that's all the label says, fairly generic. But apparently Italian customs has decided that it's medicine and has sent it back to me. So I don't know what's going to happen with the Ormus world as far as that goes, but I may need to relabel it in some way that doesn't offend maybe a Catholic in customs there, saying that it's for spiritual purposes. I'm not sure exactly what to do to handle that particular situation. I hate anybody being cut off from it, by their government.
Well,
there was another question I was going to ask you, and that's particularly because I wrote about this, which was the effect that you got when you shared it with a company and some of its employees had a 10% rise in their in their income and their profit that month. Tell us about that. What happened?
Actually, it wasn't over a month period. It was basically I hired this company to do some marketing, you know, a minimal amount per month, and, you know, they would promote my site and on their site. One of the people that worked there called me up to basically tell me that he thought, you know, my product a bunch of hooey, and that you can't do this to water. And let me tell you how many scientists have told me you can't do that. And even some higher ranking Deeksha people were saying you can't do that. And I said, well, I did, and I do regularly. Thank you. Anyway, I was kind of annoyed with, you know, one of their employees. You know, I'm paying these folks to do this for me, and he's giving me guff about my product. So I decided, well, okay, I'm going to send, you know, a bottle of Clear Light to your boss. And, you know, I didn't tell him this, but it kind of raised my feathers a little bit. Anyway, I decided I was going to show him, you know. I sent a bottle of Clear Light to the boss and told him, you know, to try it himself and decide whether or not he wanted to give it to his employees. And he tried it, and he liked it, and decided he would give it to his employees. And that day, I don't know how many employees they have there, but an entire ounce of Clear Light, about 600 drops, was used up in that one day's time. But at the end of the day, they had made more than 10% increase over what they had done in the past month. In this one day, there had been a 10% increase in sales. And he was pretty impressed with that fact alone. And I told him, well, you know, you're probably taking quite a bit. As long as as long as everybody's active and using that energy, then it's fine. But, you know, if you catch one dozing off at their desk, you know, wake them up and put them back to work. Because, you know, too much of it will, for some people, you know, basically make them snooze. So I was surprised that he gave that much out after me having warned him to start with that it was pretty potent. You know, I was wanting to put it in the water cooler and, you know, have two water coolers, one with and one without, and just see which one got emptied the first, basically. But anyway, in that day, he said everybody in the office was in a great mood. People were laughing and joking on the phone with customers, and their sales went up 10% in that day. And, you know, probably a lot of them didn't even get it until the afternoon. So I would say that, you know, that's a very positive thing. And it does. It makes you feel good, and it makes you feel friendly towards other people, and other people catch that vibe, and they're friendly back, you know. It's a positive thing, I think, for sales. But it's a positive thing for a whole lot of things. Really, a good attitude goes a long ways in whatever you're doing.
Hey, Dennis, tell us about this month's raffle.
Well, this month's raffle, Keith is making one of his bottles available to the winner. And the thing is, that this, you know, one thing I've discovered is that you can just dilute this stuff and have it last for a very, very, very long time. Which, you know, it took me a while to wrap my head around. Because I'm a bit like that, the boss of the company, you know, more is better. Have you actually determined a winner, Barry?
I have.
Well, Barry, could you hang on a minute and pick a couple more for second prize winners?
I sure can do that.
Okay, because I'd like to give an ounce of Clear Light to the winner and then quarter ounces to the two second prize winners.
Fantastic. Okay. Second and third.
Second and third. But they'll be
Fantastic.
The same.
All right. We love that. And Barry probably hasn't figured out the second and third, so he's probably in his numerical random number generator gig that he always does.
Well, he can email me the names and addresses.
No, we like to announce them on air.
Oh, okay, right. Well, I still need him to email me the names and addresses, but do announce them.
Yeah, we always do that.
I'm really, really close now.
He's close.
I've got one more to do. The number one winner is Anthony.
How come we don't win?
Number two winner is Glenn. And number three winner is Diane.
Anthony, is that you from Milano? He's so, often on the calls.
What I'm going to do is I will send these.
Fantastic! Excellent! Fabulous! Wonderful!
And I don't. Have you received, Dennis? Have you received that bottle yet that I sent you?
No, but I haven't checked my mail for the last couple of days.
Okay. I'd like to hear back from you, or on the group for that matter, how things go in a prosperity, wealth, and wisdom sense when you get that water and start to use it. And if you're having as good a result as my other people, I'm probably going to put this on my site to have this.
Well, you know, when I notice an effect in that way, I will absolutely broadcast it. And you might want to have a separate product, which is a special wealth program water.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. It's because I made a fairly large batch of that. I figured if it's having good results for you, I'll offer it to the other people. It's done good for my guy in Santa Fe, and I sent some to a lady this week here locally that I'm going to hear back from because she runs a group on manifesting wealth. And she's going to pass that around at the meeting. So we'll see what happens with that, too. Should be interesting.
Could be by fluke. Would that be Jesse in Santa Fe?
No, it's not, actually. It's a guy named Blaine. But, I haven't heard from Jesse in a while. But Jesse is also quite familiar with Clear Light and Awesome Water.
And I know he loves your water.
Yes, Ying is one of my beta testers, basically. She's one of those that can handle large amounts of the Awesome Water, and she handles the Clear Light water quite well. So she's an amazing person, PhD in physics and world-renowned feng shui practitioner. And she's actually used my water in a feng shui spray that she uses for clearing energies in a room and actually offers it to clients to clear energies in a room. A bit of her wizardry there, you know, to adapt it to that purpose.
Yeah, I know she's been involved in high-level physics in her training and her PhD and went across to become a feng shui practitioner and just consistently raves about your product at every available opportunity.
Well, she's had really good results with it. It has performed some miracles there in Jamaica. And in fact, that may be one of the places that it is one of the places I'm considering about having a second base somewhere if things get too hairy here in the United States to deal with the government here, then I'll probably take it offshore, you know, find a way to spread it through the world from another location.
Keith, what is your website, and what is the cost of your water?
Well, it's awesomewater.com, and it's spelled A-U-S, A-U like gold, or A-U-S like Austin, A-U-S-O-M-E-W-A-T-E-R.com. And, you know, I've got several sizes. The regular strength Awesome Water, the smallest size is $20 for a quarter ounce. It's 54 for an ounce. With the Clear Light, I've been offering 1 milliliter for $11 and a quarter ounce for $77 and an ounce for $250. I'm probably going to change over to a 2 milliliter sample because that's about 40 drops, and that will give you 40 days and 40 nights to evaluate it because sometimes people tend to just go overboard with that 1 milliliter, and they use it up in a few days because they like intensity, I guess you might say.
Do you take it, like, more than once a day or in the morning and at night?
What I would suggest, depending on how sensitive you are to it, but what I would suggest basically is putting a drop into a pint and then just drinking a sip of it now and then during the day enough to get a feeling from it. But don't go too far because it can interfere with work you're trying to do or one thing or another if you take too much of it at one time. But a drop into a pint of the Clear Light is pretty powerful. I can easily feel a teaspoon of it. In fact, probably more than half of the people definitely more than half of the people that I've tried it with at metaphysical fairs and health expos, more than half of them can feel a teaspoon of that one drop in a pint mixture. I would go with that, sip lightly, and then at the end of the day, before you go to bed, drink the rest of that pint, and things will happen for you while you're sleeping. So you don't have to, you know, go to a lot of special efforts. But, of course, all the things that you do spiritually, HemiSync or any of the other mind improvement programs of the audio nature or subliminals or whatever, are probably going to be enhanced by using this water with it.
That's neat. Is the effect cumulative?
Well, the whole purpose of me increasing and increasing and increasing the strength is so that people get a reaction first time around, because a lot of people are not patient enough for a cumulative kind of thing. So it's probably going to have effect first time around. The way I look at the cumulative thing, I'm not sure that it's a buildup of ormus or a buildup of whatever. What is it in the system? The cumulative thing that I'm seeing is repeated samadhi experiences, repeated high states of consciousness have an effect on you. And I really do believe that it rewrites your DNA when you have these things. Like a trauma can rewrite your DNA, a divine kind of experience rewrites your DNA, you know, in a different way. And the more times it happens, the more cumulative effect it's going to have on you and your personality and your energy levels, the whole nine yards.
Like an entrainment of just being used to being there.
Yeah,
an entrainment of actually being there in the present, you know, is what's pretty unique about it. You don't dwell on past stuff. And it's like when you take it, it's kind of like some of these things come up for a fraction of a second and they just get washed away, these traumas of the past. And that was one of the most amazing things that I found about it to start with, is that kind of effect. It's like these little things come up and they're just washed away.
Oh, I can't wait to try it.
Well, I hope it has the effect on you that it does for me and most of my customers, because I've not found anything better in my lifetime and don't expect to, frankly. But I'm open to even better, because I found that amazing things can happen.
Here's one thing that occurred to me that I haven't actually tried yet, Keith, and that is, and just, you know, give me a feedback on this. I've got in my laundry, and I'm constantly filling up bottles of water, which I have in my sort of water dispenser upstairs. What do I do? Just put a few drops in that sort of standard water size, you know, the standard bottle that you get delivery from big those water companies.
It's like five or six. That's about the intensity that I like it at, is one drop in 6 gallons. That way you can drink a pint and feel a mild sensation from it, not overpowering. That's real nice for me, and that's probably all you'll need. Needless to say, one drop in 6 gallons is stretching it pretty far, but it will stretch that far. I've been told so many times that one drop in a pint, a teaspoon of that is stronger than a teaspoon of any other stuff that they've tried, any other water product of any kind, not necessarily Ormus, but there's various, you know, and sundry thousands of water products out there, and consistently people say this is the strongest thing that they have tried. Some people don't feel anything from any of the products, and that's just the way it is. I'm not sure why. I recommend dilution. You'll get more out of it. You'll have the water available for detoxing that you'll need, because it definitely has a detoxing effect. I've heard this over and over and over again from healers, that it's an amazing detox. And one of the first times that this came up, Dink Robert had taken my water all around, all over the place, and had a doctor very interested in it. And we were considering forming a company to put this into drinking water and selling it on the store shelves. This doctor got back a hair test from his child, who he had been giving the Rainbow Bridge to, and found uranium in his hair in the test that he had done. And so he was he was upset about it, needless to say. I would be. Uranium in my child's hair, I'd be pretty perturbed. And he called me up and basically thought, you know, that the uranium came from my water. And I tried to assure him that it was probably just exactly the opposite, that my water was helping chelate the uranium from his kid's body. But he insisted, and I sent it off for testing. And, of course, there was no uranium in the water at all. And, you know, I fully believe that it was detoxing the metals out of his system. I've heard this from other people for having the same kind of effect, that it was chelating metals from their system.
What about putting it in a drop or two in meow water? I use a lot of meow water.
I don't see any problem with that. You know, you can try it with regular water and with meow water and see if there's any change, or, you know, if it's ineffective in meow water. I don't know. I've never done the magnetite thing.
I've been having a little bit of problem with background noise. I've muted a few people. If you want to ask a question, you probably will have to unmute.
When you were talking about, for instance, your knee injury, and when you use the Awesome Water or the Clear Light topically, do you use it right out of the bottle? Is that what you did, for instance, for your knee, or was that diluted?
That was straight out of the bottle, and that's because that's what was convenient. Most of the massage therapists that I have talked to dilute it in water fairly drastically and spray it on for muscle cramps and that sort of thing. Often they'll spray it onto their hands first before doing body work. But when you have a muscle cramp that's tough, you can spray it directly on. And what I recommend to them is about 12 drops of Clear Light in an ounce of water, which makes it about the same strength as Awesome Water. And I know for a fact from my own experience that that works real well at that level. Though you could probably take it further. I think most people would be really pleased with the results that they get, even, you know, at that dilution. It doesn't cost that much.
Oh, and then the other thing is, now Dennis was talking about his percussion of 49 times, and then you were talking about a succussion, like, for instance, when you dilute, let's say the Clear Light, and then you pray an intention. How would you suggest succussing it to make it more energized?
I am not a homeopath, and succussion is not something that I've been doing with it. But from my understanding of it is that, you know, you succuss it and you dilute it. Well, I'm not sure how far that will go with my product, but I know that if you are shaking the water, just shaking it, you know, in the bottle while putting an intent into it, that it seems to have more effect than just looking at the bottle or holding the bottle and putting that intent into it. So there's probably something to that succussion. I think, you know, I just work with regular dilution because it's easy, you know, to wrap my head around. I understand homeopathy and I believe it, you know, that's not the problem, but it's easier for me to regulate the dose, you might say. I know more about how much I'm taking by diluting it a certain way. And one drop in 500 milliliters is, if you're taking 1/100th of a drop, which when you think about it, 1/100th of a drop is 500 micrograms or less. So we're talking, you know, less than half a milligram of actual water of mine that goes into this mixture, and still has an effect on more than 50% of the people at that level. So it's really pretty amazing. I can feel it even lower levels than that. I can feel a quarter teaspoon of that mixture.
Do you think that that's because you become sufficiently sensitized to the field that the various ormus, and particularly your product, creates?
I'm not sure that I'm so much sensitized as familiar with the effects. I think that really has more to do with it than actual sensitivity, but I do think that I have become more sensitive to fields that are generated by objects or electromagnetic fields or whatever. I can detect them. They don't seem to bother me. It's like, you know, I can shake them off. I think I've got enough of an aura that is emanating from me that kind of rejects, you know, the usual stuff from your TV or your your computer monitor or whatever, I don't seem to be affected by those EMF generators nearly the way I used to be. It's almost kind of like a force field. It's interesting the way it feels to me anyway.
Does this product tend to get destabilized by electromagnetic fields then?
I really haven't found that to be the case. I've had products returned to me before, and I do require that to give your money back, that you return it, because I want to test it. I want to hold it in my hand and feel what energy it has. So far, nobody sent me back a product that wasn't still lit up, you might say,
yeah.
Except one person who sent me back a product which was plainly tap water, but, you know, they'd refilled the bottle with tap water and sent it back to me. But, you know, no big deal. Anyway, I haven't found it to be the case. I'm sure that a strong enough electromagnetic field, enough X-ray radiation, enough gamma radiation, anything like that would affect it. I'm sure of that, if it were strong enough. But it seems to be radiating a field of its own, you may have noticed. I've got customers that, you know, with the clear light, it's difficult for them to handle the package it came in because it's so strong for them. One of Ying's friends, a coworker in Spain, I believe, when he picked the package up at the post office, while he could handle it all right, immediately upon seeing the package, he saw a field coming out for it for about half a meter. You know, he was really amazed by, you know, he'd never seen anything quite like that before. And Ying told him, you know, you need to dilute this down to the awesome water stage and to only take, you know, a drop or two of that. And he found that that was, you know, more than enough, more than he was actually comfortable with taking a drop of that dilution. He's a very sensitive and even psychic kind of feng shui practitioner. And it increased his sensitivity to the point where instead of hearing other people's thoughts and, you know, feeling emanations from people at a range of maybe 30 to 40 feet, he was feeling it for hundreds of yards. And that actually was pretty uncomfortable for him. It was a little bit out of what he was used to. And I think he's actually moved since then to a place where there's not as many people, where he can, you know, think his own thoughts without reading everybody else's mind at the same time, kind of a cacophony of thoughts going on.
You'd want to tell the people around you to shut up.
Well, you know, I get reports from people all the time who say that, you know, they're somewhere and they hear somebody ask them something, they reply to it, and that person looks at them like they're crazy, and they say, "What are you talking about?" Well, you asked blah, blah, and I answered. And they said, "No, I didn't, not out loud." It's working for a lot of people and sort of opening up a portal, a doorway, an ability that you already had, but it's unlocking this stuff where you have experiences of reading other people's minds and, you know, it sounds like they spoke to you. It's not like you're intending to do this. It just happens that way. And Joe Lello, too, has done some experiments with what's called remote intent, where I think he was telling me about a story in the post office where I focused on tapping this guy's shoulder mentally, who was in line in front of him, several people in front of him, and repeatedly, you know, tap this guy on the shoulder mentally, and the guy would turn around to look at who tapped him on the shoulder. You know, Joe is just, you know, he's discovering the tip of the iceberg. Let's put it that way. There's a long ways you can go, and I think this really does unlock a lot of those doors.
A long way down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, big time. A lot more than I had ever imagined.
It's what I call the magical mystery tour. It's coming to take us away.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of the people that take it, you know, feel like that it has changed their world. I mean, and it has, literally, because they have started thinking in a different way and started doing things differently than they did before, doing different things and doing some of the things they were doing before, but doing them differently and with different intent, and the people around you, you know, because we are all one. We are all connected with each other, and it's a matter of, to the extent that you can perceive it, is the extent to which you can improve it. And it really becomes your own responsibility to improve the world once you realize that you're part of this oneness. You know, it brings you up to a higher standard of behavior in order to promote what they call shalom, God's peace. You have to change what you're doing, the way you think about people. It's easy. Once these experiences have happened over and over again, you just look at people differently. You tend to just love everybody, and love your brother as yourself is, you know, what was biblically commanded, and the same parallel in most any religion. You know, it's about love. And part of the reason for that is because we're all so connected to each other. We don't realize it for the most part, but when you do realize it, how connected you are, it makes a big difference in the way you act and the way you think. I've seen wonderful things happen to people, happen in their lives, that is a direct influence of the water.
Barry and I have been having are you guys hearing me?
Yep.
Barry, you cut out a bit.
A fascinating conversation with a live alchemy guest we had for two shows last year, in January last year, called Michael Burberry. And Michael Burberry has kind of been off the Ormus kind of contribution list for quite a while, where he's been researching a whole bunch of really extraordinary stuff that Barry Carter sort of precursed in his article about emerging matter. And this guy's been doing extraordinary experiments with that show how stuff like Ormus just attracts more of itself. It's almost like I call it having Ormus party. Just Ormus has a party and invites other Ormus particles over to join the party, and matter just arrives out of nothing.
Yes, I believe that's true. Like what I was talking about, the Ormus attractor field, that was an intentional invite to the party, you might say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, there's an old metaphysical aphorism that like attracts like, and Ormus seems to attract more Ormus.
Yeah.
And one thing that I've noticed is that people who take Ormus, and this also speaks to the question you've been asked about, is it accumulative? And I say it is. In all cases it is Ormus. I've found that people, the more Ormus they take, the more they take. And the more they take, the more Ormus-like they become. And
yes,
the more Ormus-like they become, the more Ormus-like foods they eat. And the more Ormus-like foods they eat, the more Ormus-like people I gather around them, whether those people even know about Ormus or not.
I agree.
A tribe accumulates. It's a very tribal thing, and it becomes a realm that is just growing on every dimension of upper level of consciousness, and upper level of possibility of life just happens a bit octopus-like. That, you know, it's got multiple manifestations, multiple levels, octaves of the same kind of energy just manifesting in a whole bunch of different ways.
Oh, I think Ormus is
me. This is what I call, again, the magical mystery tour that is not particularly responsive to the scientific inquiry, which would probably be so maddening for the left brainers out there. Even in the Ormus community, you see a whole bunch of left brainers that are raving on about this, that, or the other, and you can pretty much tell they don't have Ormus themselves. They're just having an Ormus discussion, not an Ormus partaking.
Well, even that can be uplifting.
Dennis, I think that the Ormus is a strange attractor, and that when you take it, after a while, you become a strange attractor, attracting all kinds of strange things.
Well, you know, most of us that have been taking it, we're already strange attractors.
Yeah.
That's what brought us together.
So listen, I've been raving now and interrupting or sort of taking up people's question time. So we've got another quarter of an hour or so on the call. Any questions you got for Keith?
I have a couple questions and a comment.
Okay.
This is Dorsey in Vancouver, Washington. I wanted to say first thank you so much for all that you shared about your spirituality and the intention that you put in your product. I was really struck by how alike the way that you describe the divine source, God, whatever, is to the language that I habitually use. And I do think that intention is fabulously important. It's everything. And, I've tried using Ormus, Mr. Hudson's product. I've tried using that with and without a specific intention, and I notice a difference. So I really do get what you're talking about, and I think the general intent and the expansion, those directions are very helpful. I had a question about the back pain thing and trauma, because you mentioned trauma, and what kind of results you're getting with people or you're hearing about with people who've been in, like, high-velocity trauma, like, high-energy car accidents. And also, are there any anecdotal reports that you have about people who have had stroke and any possibility of healing for them?
You know, I haven't heard anything yet about stroke. I'd be very curious about that because it has helped in a lot of other mental kind of things, Alzheimer's, MS,
uh-huh.
Some of the things that are fairly debilitating that mm-hmm. it has worked real well on.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what was the first part of your question?
I was asking about back pain and trauma, like high-energy trauma, high-energy car crashes, that kind of damage. Does it help?
Yes, it does. At least, the reports I've had were excited
mm-hmm.
phone calls from people
okay.
who had typically a prescription for Demerol or even morphine for mm-hmm. their back pain, and they walked around zoned out all the time. Same thing for migraines.
Well, I have both, so that's good to hear. Because,
good
to hear.
The migraine thing didn't surprise me because of the mental effects of it. The first time I heard about it was from a guy in Santa Fe who had taken it, and he had migraines that would put him in the closet, down on his knees,
mm-hmm.
sobbing in pain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And this is typical migraine kind of thing. And, I really felt so sorry for him when I heard about it, but before, I even got around to feeling sorry for him, he was telling me that something told him to put some of the awesome water on his fingers and rub it on his neck. And
mm-hmm.
that took the pain away,
mm-hmm.
immediately. Something
yeah.
his Demerol prescription would only dull the pain.
Right.
And just took it away.
Right. That makes sense.
He came out of the closet with tears in his eyes of joy,
mm-hmm.
Rather than pain. So, it was a big deal for him, so he calls me up to tell me about it, and I was so pleased.
That's great.
That, and then Tom on the list, who made a, a little testimonial about the clear light. He was another one of those that was real excited. He's got scoliosis real bad, and
mm-hmm.
Generally, a little time on the freeway, and it'd been about an hour and a half that day. He would come home and take one of his prescription meds that were very powerful, addictive, narcotic. And so that day the water, the clear light, arrived, and he decided to take that right away. And
uh-huh.
it took away his back pain that he was really suffering with just immediately.
Well, that's good.
I've got a guy in Missouri who's got rods in his back from a car accident that
uh-huh.
is in, he had been strung out on pain pills to the point where he couldn't work. He could not function in life on those pain pills. So he was on disability and on strung out on pain pills. And he tries some of it, and it just takes the pain away, and he feels good, and he's laughing, and said he hadn't felt that good in many years since before the accident.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every day, that's what he does instead. And,
that's good.
Yeah.
Well, chronic pain is depressing, so.
No doubt.
Yeah, I've lived with it for 18 years, so, I understand that. And I'm a left brain kind of, that's my training, is I was a research nurse. And, you know, I grew up in a family of skeptics and scientists, and yet I've had metaphysical and spiritual experiences since an early age, and I'm a psychic, and I have mediumship qualities and experiences of, you know, knowing what's needed for healing, that they don't come from me, they come through me.
Right, exactly.
And I know, you know, I've gotten more help from alternative medicine and Eastern medicine and Ormus than I have from Western medicine over the years, even though I was trained in, you know, the Western view. And I think there's a benefit to having both, because we can, you know, we can have discussions with all kinds of people and speak to people from any perspective and look at things through multiple filters. Something I really appreciate about all the Ormus folks are just feel like kin to me. So I'm looking forward to trying your product, and I'm curious if it can give me a little boost on the migraine control, because that's been problematic.
I would do it first topically, because that was what was reported to me. But
okay.
I think taking it internally is also very effective, at least for my, I don't have migraines, but occasionally I'll get a headache, and it's usually because of an allergen or one thing
mm-hmm.
or another, but nevertheless,
right.
It's painful. And, you know, a drop of the regular strength Awesome Water is enough to get rid of it normally. When you have back pain in particular, a lady just called me earlier this week who's got a little healing circle going, and one of the people in the circle had lost her dog that was like 17 years old. And, you know, dog had been a family member for some time, and she was heartbroken about it, and a serious pain had manifested in her back, and that's what she came to the healing circle for, is that pain in her back.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady, who is very sensitive to this water, pulled out her little bottle of Awesome Water and put a drop on this lady's hand who was having the back pain, and told the lady to put it on her back wherever it hurt. And
mm-hmm.
she did. And 10 minutes later, the lady comes back to her and says, "What's in that? I've never had anything work this quickly in my life." And she was shocked, you know. And that, mm-hmm. the lady said, "Well, it's magic water."
Yeah.
And I think she gave her the website or the phone number. So I don't think I've heard back from her, because a lot of people will think, "Oh, well, placebo got me on that one." Well,
mm-hmm.
if it were only placebo, then, you know, I wouldn't bother with this. But it
right.
Is.
I'll have that placebo.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to have placebo, you know, all the time, you know, that works,
yeah.
you know.
I'll try just about anything once and twice if I like it. So, you know, because, I mean, if I can't see any harm in it, I'll try it.
Well, I only wish that I had a placebo this strong in my earlier life, and I wouldn't have gone down a lot of paths that I went down.
Well, you wouldn't have the faith that you do now if you hadn't gone down those paths. So, you know, it all works together for good, right?
Yeah, that's true. And there was those times when I was weak on faith. I remember, you know, maybe, I guess, 7 or 8 years ago, where things were really going bad. I was broke. I was living in an RV. And I was praying, and I challenged God, "If you're there, let me know."
Mm-hmm.
And a ball of lightning comes
mm-hmm.
through the window and passes through the trailer and out the sliding glass door of the trailer.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that got my attention. Okay. Don't mean to be bugging you like that. Sorry about that. There.
I won't be speaking like that again.
Yeah. Don't expect me to have another, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, God works in very mysterious ways, and I do find that sometimes I'm, you know, I don't drive a lot anymore, but sometimes I'm called to get off the freeway. And I'll get off the freeway, and I'll wander into a store, and I'll end up having a conversation with a stranger that changes everything for them. And it's, I had a lady who's, it wasn't Church of Christ, but something similar up here in the Northwest that I spoke to kind of at random in Petco, and, you know, we had this conversation about God, and she was trying to pick out the right bird feeder, and she was really worried about doing the wrong bird feeder, and I said, you know, I'm pretty sure that the seeds have been spilling on the ground for millennia, and, you know, it says in the Bible God has his eye on the sparrow, and I think you could trust God to have his eye on the sparrows in your yard, too, and just pick whichever bird feeder you're happy with. And I think God will be happy, and the birds will be happy, and it'll all be all right. And she told me she'd been praying for, like, 4 years, day and night, and got fed up 24 hours earlier and asked God to send her something different. And then she bumps into me, and she says, and where did you get such peace? And I says, that's a complex question. She says, well, where did you get such peace? I said, well, I was really angry, and I started reading the Dalai Lama about anger. And I started studying Buddhism, and it made me a happier person. So, yeah, it all works together. We are all connected.
Yes, we are. And I find that kind of thing happens a lot when you start taking it.
Yeah, it's been happening to me since way before. So, I mean, if we can boost things and just help me with pain control, get out there more with people, that'd be wonderful.
Let me just cut across here because we're coming down to our last few minutes of the call, and I know we can get into an enormous amount of time just celebrating all these lovely metaphysical aspects. And I want to ask if there's any more questions. One of the things we often find, actually, is that when there's a really good call, people are just really content and kind of fulfilled and don't need any particular answer. And then half an hour later after the call, they go, oh, I should have asked this, that, or the other.
Keith?
Yes.
I think that Dennis struck a note there. I think that we've transcended the questioning mind and really gone to a place of I'm in a state of wonderment, enthusiasm, inspiration, and keen end to the awesome water.
Well, I sure hope it doesn't disappoint you, because I hate to disappoint. But
I don't think it will. And
I have seen so many things that, you know, even if somebody doesn't get the mental effects from it that I'm accustomed to, and that what really made me want to bring this to people, something else will happen, something they're not even aware of sometimes, a problem that they have with their body or some other thing that they hadn't even thought about. It's going to affect that. And that's part of that highest and best, you know. Sometimes you don't even know what's wrong. And you need somebody to fix it, but you don't even know what to ask for. And I've already asked for it. And you're going to get it, you know. I don't know. You know, I don't know what it's going to be, but something is going to happen that will be a positive thing, and hopefully you'll see what it is, and it'll be wonderful.
I think it will expand our healing group. We have a healing vessel group once a week. We do long-distance work, and then at the end we all receive healing for ourselves, and it's really powerful, and I'd love to bring the water into the group to enhance the whole dynamic of it.
Oh, I believe it would. It has, in every situation where I've brought the water to a group that is along a similar line, whether it's a manifesting group or a meditation group or inner peace or healing or any number of things that require a consciousness aspect of it, it is enhanced every one of those. I've got a lot of people that, you know, put me in a position of feeling like I'm their savior, but it's not my job, you know. I'm just passing on a message from above. That's the way I see it. You know, I'm doing what I was told, and I'm really glad that you benefited from it, and I hope to see even more benefits you know, especially of a spiritual nature.
Well, in terms of that, no doubt. In terms of a physical nature, I also want to bring it into my acupuncture practice and people with chronic pain and supposedly incurable situations. So I'd like to see what will happen. Which water do you recommend, the Rainbow Bridge or the Awesome Water for physical pain?
I don't make the Rainbow Bridge anymore. That was a kind of a second generation. What I have is water and Clear Light. And economically, the Clear Light makes the most sense because it's about 50 times the potency, and it's only about 5 times the price. So, you know, you've got a 10-to-1 value right there. And it is much more effective, I think, for, I guess you would say, medicinal purposes.
Okay.
For therapeutic kind of purposes, because you can dilute it down to whatever strength you need it at.
I'll order it today.
I think that's the one I go with for almost every purpose. Sometimes I dilute it, but because I've got it, you know, I keep some in my pocket everywhere I go in case something comes up. You never know. And a drop of this will go a long, long way. Even if you're using it topically, it's amazing what a drop will do. It's just awesome. And that's part of the reason it got named Awesome Water, is because that would be the first word out of people's mouths when they took it, is awesome. And because you really feel good. If you react to Ormus or trap water, you know, you're going to feel good from this because it really is awesome. And that's because the awesome source, and I'm not talking about me.
Right.
But listen, what I'd like to do is and thank you so much, Keith, because you've been a great guest. And I want to wind this up, but before I do, and I haven't made this request before, but it just occurred to me. You know, one of the reasons I've been doing, the reason I started even doing these calls in the first place was a lady called Sharon Rose would write to the list a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, every month, trying to raise some money for Barry Carter, who was living on the smell of an oily rag, and doing this Ormus mission with 24/7 of his time, and only getting a little bit of money from some lectures and a little bit of tiny dribble of money from advertising of the sites and so on. And so I rang Barry and said, I've got an idea for you. Since you give away all this information, why don't you interview some of the best alchemists and almost producers in the community so that people can kind of learn from them and charge them, say, $5 to listen to that call. And just have that on your site, and it can be an income flow for you. And he said, what a great idea, Dennis. Why don't you do it? And suddenly I found I convinced Barry to give me an unpaid job.
What a deal.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is that, you know, I talk about these calls a lot on the list, but what I'd like to do is a request for you guys, and that is to help and support me a little bit in this mission. Of raising some funds for popularizing these calls by writing a post or two about the calls themselves, and if you enjoyed any aspect of any of them, yeah? Because there's always a deafening silence about these calls, and I believe they're hugely valuable, and I'm always getting uplifted by them. I call it my Sunday morning Ormus service because, you know, here in Australia, we get the call on Sunday morning because, you know, we're tomorrow from your guys' point of view. And, you know, if you're ever having trouble with the world and you want to know if it's going to be still alive tomorrow, you can just call us and we'll tell you, yeah, it's still here. But the point is this, that I would love to see some posts from you guys whenever you feel moved to about the effect of any of these different calls. Because it will help to promote these calls. It will help to build our audience and participation, because it's not just Dennis of Oz raving about these things like the maniac that he's often considered to be.
who's, you know, consistently selling this, that, or the other, which is true to my nature, but I'd love to have some, you know, just a little bit of input about the value of these calls, not even necessarily this one, but whenever you feel moved to, because it will support the environment, it will support the upliftment of the whole community, because this is a significant added value for the whole Ormus community, and no one has benefited from this more than me. So it's completely selfish from my point of view, because I get huge value out of this. Sundays after the Ormus call is always jazz for me. Listen, I just want to say thank you very much for being on the call, and thanks, Keith, for being a fabulous guest, and Barry for being a remarkable administrator and making this thing work technically, and thank you guys for being on the call to make it, you know, so good for all of us.
Thank you, Dennis, for being such a great host. I really appreciate you always having something good to say and something good to add into every conversation.